good day. Hi, Kurt Gottschalk, the Brother Lucy Pod Show. Rock show. It's a rock show today. We are happy to bring you. I am happy to bring you Roy Nathanson and the Jazz Passengers. This is a concert that was recorded in April of 2005, April 9, at the University of Wisconsin. And it was called the Rock Concert. A long-form piece composed by Mr. Nathanson celebrating a 4.4-billion-year-old zircon found in Australia. One of the text pieces that he's been working on, although certainly still Jazz Passengers, but the storytelling he's been doing so well in recent years. There's some Charles Mingus in there as well. He borrows a bit of that. Roy Nathanson, Curtis Folks, Bill Ware, Brad Jones, E.J. Rodriguez, Sam Bartfeld, Hugo Dwyer, and the voice talents of Maurice Myers and Ruth Myers. Behind me now is some more rock music. This is from a piece called Dolores by Seth Cluett. And the hammering you hear in there, there's a few elements to this piece. It was a piece made for the Diapason Gallery in Brooklyn. And among the other things that you hear in here are the hitting of rocks. Boulders in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, the Ringing Rocks State Park. And these rocks, they vary from the size of an air conditioner to a small car, maybe. I actually had the opportunity to go on a trip with Seth and a group of us. A group of a couple dozen people went there to hit rocks with hammers. And the rocks have such a high iron content that they're almost bells. Really beautiful. So next time you're in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, search that up. It seemed nice to listen to some rocks before we get into the rock concert, which is where we're headed now. April 9, 2005, Madison, Wisconsin. The Jazz Passengers, the Rock Concert, the Brother Lucy Pod Show, the WFMU.
time is on my mind. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Because a short time ago, recently, you could say now, yeah. Right now, I moved back to Brooklyn, to this neighborhood called Flappers, where I was born. And there's this Pebble Pagoda that's on the front lawn of this house on Foster Avenue. It's one of the only things left from when I was there. I figured it was put there, a drag there, from some guy who was nuts about the East. I figured from after the war, a guy got interested in Orientals. You know, I figured the guy was interested in Orientals. Only, I thought they were saying ornamentals. I always thought the pagoda was ornamental. And it was. It was ornamental. Thing probably weighed a ton, right? As, I imagine the guy spent his time after the war, you know, balancing the pebbles one on top of the other. You know, maybe he saw a picture in Iwo Jima or something, a pagoda, and he copied it. Anyway, I always stopped and looked at it when I walked to school. Every time, I always stopped. Time is on my mind. Yes, it is. It's unflinching, like, you know how people say, it marches on. On the way back, I never stopped. I just marched right down the other side of the street. And then on the way back, I never stopped. I just marched right down the other side.
The modern student should understand that time and space are interchangeable. A sentimental attachment to time as a discrete idea is a profound kind of blindness. We have the obligation to take parallel dimensions for granted. Horns and parallel fifths, they trumpet in a new era.
Trumpet, they trumpet in a new era.
That was Fromkin. He was my seventh grade science teacher at Ditmas Junior High School, and he was a prick. The thing was, though, we'd lock him in the science closet, and he'd yell that kind of stuff out. We hated him. We hated him. But the thing that was amazing was that we never actually saw him, ever. It was just that he was so mealy-mouthed. He was really mealy-mouthed, right? But time, that's something I know about. It's a matter of perception, right? Like a guy like Fromkin, he would say that that zircon over there, there's a zircon over there in that bell jar over there, he would say that that was billions and billions of years old.
The formation of the Earth is estimated to have occurred 4.5 billion years ago. This particular Australian zircon is 4.404 billion years old. Give or take 800 million.
4.404 billion years old.
Give or take 800 million.
You know what? I'm going to take that 800 million because I'm back in Brooklyn now and I'm a scientist. I date things. Like you see, for instance, you see that Wilner's drugstore sign over there? It juts out from that jerk chicken place right over there. got that W and the blotches of black and gray over there. I know it says Wilner's. You don't know it, but I know it. Because 4 billion years ago, that jerk chicken place was a deli. And Mr. Wilner would give me enemas and soupettes to take home for my mom. She was playing Camille. She loved that book. She read that book and she saw that movie. And that was 3.2 billion years before I was born. Anyway, one of these days, Mr. Wilner gave me the enemas and soupettes. And I still had to get flowers from the flower store. And the flower store is still there on the plaza. But it's run by these Pakistani people. And it's letters on the sign are in Sanskrit, and it says,
flower store, flower store,
flower store. But there's no sign to say that the crud that's on the cold glass window where I can get the roses is the same crud that was there when I was there. But it's on the upper left-hand corner, right over there. It's the same crud, still exactly the same crud.
The supercrustal material on the detrital zircon that has interacted with the liquid hydrosphere proves that there was crust and water and intact Earth.
Frumpkin, Frumpkin's full of tall tales.
Oceans and continental rust.
Frumpkin, Frumpkin's full of bright stars.
An intact Earth.
Frumpkin, Frumpkin's full of dark skies. Frumpkin, Frumpkin's full of it.
Got the flowers, but I still had to get knishes at Mizell's Deli over there. So I took the bag of the soupettes and the enemas, and I had the roses, and I went over to Mizell's, and there was this awful line. I remember there was this awful line. I was standing with all this crap in my arms, and the sun was going down, and I had to wait. I was like 8, and it was getting way dark, and I really had to wait. I mean, it was like forever.
Yeah. feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
With false bonhomie to use the words Big Bang. Another unnecessary naming in a world cursed by a lack of clarity. Let us just say that after the event, clouds of dust and gases traveled breathlessly like sighs through the universe. Some rested at what was to be our Earth's doorpost. Various sized atoms and dust waited like impatient relatives for the serving of a big holiday meal. Eyes closed, we sense gravitation caress the little extended family. Part of the cloud collapses, flings the unsuspecting guests from the dinner table. Helium into carbon, into neon and oxygen, and iron hurled together with bits of crushed clumps of far-off stars. They rush to their new home where gravity bears a crushing love. Heaviest at the core, lightest at the outer edges, the crust.
It was the 1950s, the beginning of the world. Kropotkin called it the Precambrian era. He was a big one for naming things the jerk. Anyway, all I know is in Brooklyn, it was like a whirlwind, especially in my house. Guys would come into my house and they'd go out yelling, "Who's the eighth notes? Who's the eighth notes?" My mom would bring those even eighths from Chopin, Schumann, you know, the long-haired guys. My dad's eighths come swinging through the back door, swinging like thieves. You could hear them all the way up to the kitchen. 671 East 19th Street. You go in there and you get disorientated, confused. You go out screaming. It was the eighth notes. It was the eighth notes.
It was the eighth notes.
It was the eighth notes.
It was the eighth
notes. It was the eighth notes. You'd be disorientated. Eighth notes.
Eighth notes?
Thank you. about it.
Zone is interpreted as a shear zone between a sinking ocean and an overriding plate. The density of hate will be subducted into the molten bowels of the earth, and timeless ideas of love and grace will glide seamlessly to the surface. Metaphorical little zircons waiting to be plucked like cherished plums from lush mountain orchards of thought.
Do you hear that? That was Fromkin, philosopher blowhard. Always with that. But I understood what he was saying. I mean, the basic thing is that the heavy stuff bumps into the light stuff, right? And the light stuff goes underneath and it gets all stirred around in a big pot. You never know what's what, right? That's subduction. You know, even in the newspaper, I heard with that horrible tsunami, that was from subduction. They say that in the paper, right? But that's not the only place. It's everywhere. Listen, just listen. You hear that? That's Charlie Mingus. That was Charlie Mingus. Just popped right out of our A section. Did you hear how that came? That's his reincarnation of a lovebird. It's like his little lovebird just got reincarnated again in our B section. You heard that? Just popped right out of our pot. Just born again. Right? Just came right out like that. Subduction, something that happens all the time. Thank you.
Stasis is an arbitrary idea, as outmoded as time itself. It is of some passing interest that 4.4 billion years ago, our little Zircon saw the glimmering majesty of our oceans, but it was not a lone sunbather viewing the calm, sun-drenched sea. In truth, it was clinging to a little raft on a shifting swamp of geological mud, wildly circling the sun in an ever-expanding and contracting universe. No, time did not start because there was an intact Earth. We are born to an illusory model of experience. Crushing illusion is our fading hope.
So when things finally settled down over there in the neighborhood, I started walking to school by myself all the time. So that was like for 10 years. So it's 365 times 10, what, 3,000, about that 3,650 days, right? And I remember the pagoda, of course, and I remember my Zell's Deli, and I remember the flower store, and all that kind of stuff. I definitely remember that. Pumpkin's full of it. But I don't remember even one specific day. Pumpkin's full of it. Not one of them. I just remember that things started. Pumpkin's full of it. And they just kept going.
Volados y atravesados, los daños de tu estructura, amenazas sísmicas. Amenazas sísmicas, tipos de fallo. Tipos de fallo, la geología de tu amor. Anyway, so I grew up in Bushwick, and that's another part of Brooklyn.
Yeah, baby, Bushwick.
And somehow I ended up in this big deal science high school called Brooklyn Tech. I didn't never went to class too much, but One day there was this rumor in the lunchroom that this guy Fromkin was gonna come to the school. He was gonna visit, and he was gonna bring this special rock. I thought that was cool. This little pebble was the oldest pebble in the world. This little rock that he was gonna bring. So I kind of dropped out of dropping out and started going back to school. I'm going back to school. And this is, this was back in the 70s. I had a big, huge fro and the big platform shoes, and I had a pendant that had a scorpion on it. I remember that because that was the Silurian period. And that was when scorpions started coming around, and coral reefs, and the sand on beaches and things, you know?
Snag bubbles.
Yeah, you remember the Silurian period?
Oh, yeah.
It was funky. It was fresh. It was cool. I was down in Brooklyn in the Silurian period, like I was saying. I'm going to Brooklyn Tech. I'm waiting for this Fromkin guy. La teología de tu amor, Fromkin. De tu amor, Fromkin.
Fromkin's full of it.
That's right, man. Check it out. Anyway, one day we wait and we wait, and I'm going to class and we waiting. 70 years, 70, 80 somewhat years during the Silurian period. That was hard to deal with. So anyway, one day we hear that Fromkin called the school. And I'm waiting for Fromkin, right? I'm thinking I'm going to see this rock. And what happens? He calls up, he says, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. I didn't want to hurt anybody, but it's all a lie. And what did he call it?
He said it was a glorious illusion.
He said it was a glorious illusion. After I'm going to school for 70 or 80 years, he says it's a glorious illusion.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. But, you know, hold up, please.
All right.
You know, after all of these years, I'm finally going to get to see this rock. And it's really important. You want to see it?
No,
Roy?
Not me. I'm not going to give Fromkin this satisfaction. Forget about it. I'm staying right here.
What?
No.
It's been about 800 years. What are you talking about?
No, I'm staying right here.
You're not going to go?
No, go ahead.
Listen, go ahead. I have to see it. I'm going to go see it. So,
you should see it for all of us, man. Give us a full report.
Give us a full report
when you come back.
Okay.
Check it out.
Please.
Check it out.
I'm going to go see this thing because it's been 875 years. You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious to see this. I don't know about you guys. I mean, for you guys, it's only been what, like 40 years since you've been? Somebody here's got to know about this thing and be able to help me, explain this rock to me. But how does this rock come up, you know? Does anybody here, can anybody here tell me about this rock? Anybody? Do you know it?
All right, E.G., forget about it. You take the guy up there and let's get on with the show. Come on, guys. All right, so you're probably wondering, enough of that. You're wondering why I'm telling the story. We're going on and on, the whole business, right? Waxing nostalgic about the flower store, the whole business, showing the rock, the whole business. Well, here's what happened. This is the true thing. So I did move back to Flatbush, right? And I was back there and I was going this whole thing. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to see the pagoda, see if it's still there, right? So I go past the flower store and the bank, and I go past the photo. So I get to the corner of 4th Street, and it's incredible. The thing is for real there. I mean, the house looks littler. You know, I was a little kid, and I saw it. But the thing looks amazing. I mean, it's sitting there on 4th Street Avenue. This is Brooklyn Street, like some kind of Shinto shrine. It's like sitting there, but it's not like from kind of like, you know, the Japan Arts Committee or something. It's just sitting there right on 4th Street Avenue. And I'm like looking at this thing. And I'm just sitting there and looking at it for years. I guess I must have looked at it. It was about 20 years I stood there and stood there. finally I get my balls together. I go up and I knock on the door, and knock on the door, see if somebody's... I'm waiting for somebody, and then before you know it...
I've been expecting you. Please come in.
So I'm like, this is weird, right? So I go in, and there's pictures of all the people in the neighborhood who died. My brother, this little girl from PS-152, she got hit by a car. My friend Andy Zaslavsky and their father, both of them died of Wilson's disease. It's this weird disease where your body doesn't excrete copper and you go nuts. And my cousin Irving, like practically everybody that I know, my mom and dad, because by now they're almost all dead, right? Right, and you think it's like all moldy couches, the whole thing, right, like that? But the thing is, it's all new IKEA furniture. The place is decked out in IKEA furniture. And she sits me on this really stiff computer chair, and she brings me the snifter of brandy.
Like I said, I've been expecting you. Unfortunately, I have an appointment at the beauty parlor on Bedford Avenue in 2 minutes, so I just have time for half a question.
I'm like, half a question? I mean, what the hell is half a question, right? Half a question. Unbelievable.
My name is Mrs. Frumpkin. Mr. Frumpkin was my husband. Oy, he was a wonderful, loving husband. We got along great. Of course, I never saw him.
That same thing. So, Frumpkin built the pagoda.
I'm sorry. That's a whole question. I have to go now.
That was that. She walks out. She's got no coat. She walks out. She leaves me sitting there on the computer chair to sniff through brandy, right? So I'm like going over there. I'm going over there, and I just march right out. I march right out into the front lawn. I go over to the pagoda. I like knock in the front bushes. I take the brandy glass, and I break off the bottom, right? So I break off the top, but the bottom's this pointy thing, right? And I just go and I just take the stem and I dig in there and I just dig in. The little zircon, one little rock. I mean, I went in there, got a little rock, one little rock. That felt so good. That felt so good. But then I get worried that I'm going to break the thing, or I broke the thing, or something like that. So I put the rock in my pocket, and I ran. I mean, I ran all the way past Flatbush, past the old pizza store with the Sicilian slices and the Guyanese Policemen's Association headquarters and the yeshiva. There's like a Muslim mosque, a storefront mosque right next to the yeshiva and the Our Lady of Refuge Church, the whole business. Going straight down Foster, straight down past church, past No String, the whole thing. Finally, I get to the Vanderveer houses. Vanderveer houses are the oldest housing project in New York. They were from the reign of King Roosevelt II, 2.3 million years ago, when people believed in a social contract and they thought that, you know, public housing and people's goodwill was important. They believed that. That was before people, they didn't learn to run fast. They didn't learn how to run fast. But I was running. Finally, I got to King's Highway, which is like, it's like the Champs-Élysées of East Flatbush. And I hail a cab. Yo! And this Haitian cab driver stops me and I say, Monsieur, prenez-moi à Madison, Wisconsin. And he goes, certainly, monsieur. So we get in and we're driving fast, because I wanted to take my little zircon, my whatever it is, my little rock, I don't know what kind of rock. This rock I got from the pagoda, I wanted to take it to the expert, to an expert, a man who could date rocks, who could tell me about old rocks. I wanted to take it to a man who used his face, his fancy isotopes, and felt the oldest rocks. and I wanted him to feel my rock. I wanted a chance for somebody to feel it. I wanted somebody, an expert, to tell me something about my rock. Are you an expert?
Why, yes. I'm an expert in stable isotope geochemistry and metamorphic petrology.
Tell me something about my rock. Sir, excuse me, sir.
Yes?
Exactly what are you doing with my rock there, sir?
Well,
Well, I'm using my ion microprobe. According to my readings, your rock was excavated from a pre-Solarian pagodic mass that evolved around the time of the formation of the Earth's crust, probably in East Flatbush in the 1950s.
Oh, can I just hold it right there with the with your?
Be careful now. It's okay. It's okay.
Whoops. Oops.
Oh my God.
Oh, Sam!
Oh my God,
Sam! I just dropped the.
You mean to tell me you had one of the oldest rocks in the world and you lost it right here on the stage?
Yes. Roy,
you are an idiot.
Roy, I think it's right
how
to down
look
right
at this?
There.
Okay, we gotta help him.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Okay.
Oh.
No, that's not it.
Wait, that's it. I might.
Roy, this is terribly unsatisfying.
Lost the rock.
Roy, this is not your rock. Roy, how can I work in these conditions? Hey, what's
the dude about the rock?
Thank you so much. This is really a special thing. I thank you. Thank you. I really love to thank particularly Joe Schoolin, who put this whole thing together. It was Joe Schoolin, my friend Vicky Abrash, who had this idea that was kind of a, I mean, you know, the religious right doesn't have a, you know, a monopoly on spiritual things, you know what I'm saying? This is something really special. I'd like to thank John Valley, and the man who actually dated the oldest rock. Simon. And I'd like to thank all of the geology department and God, everybody who helped in this. But so thank you. We're gonna play another Jazz Passengers tune, what the hell, right? Okay. Oh, I got to introduce you guys up here. On violin, Mr. Sam Barfeld. On vibraphone, the great Bill Ware. On the bass, Mr. Bradley Jones. On drums, with the remarkable singing voice, Mr. E.J. Rodriguez. He's got time on his mind, too. Yes, he does. On sampler, the longtime Jazz Passengers producer and engineer, his first time playing with us, Mr. Hugo Dwyer. And my co-leader and cohort for all these years, Mr. Curtis Folks on trombone.
And Mr. Roy Nathanson on saxophones. Original dialogue, Roy Nathanson.
I'd also like to thank my friend Danny Kahn out there. All right, we're going to do a tune from our Jazz Passengers album called Live in Spain. And it goes like this.
Thank you.
vibraphone. Jones, you take it. Go ahead, Jones. Jones, go ahead, Jones. Go, baby. Go, Jones. Go ahead, Jones. Go ahead.
Zircon.
Zircon. 4.404 billion years old.
4.404 billion years old.
Hugo Dwyer on sampler.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jazz Passengers. Yeah. And Zircon. Let us not forget about Zircon. Thank you for listening. If you found this somewhere out, laying on the sidewalk or something, go to WFMU.org, explore the podcasts, explore the broadcasts, explore the wild FM world at WFMU. Next week, this is going to be good. Mostly Other People Do the Killing at the Moors Festival. Come back for that. Thanks to Roy Nathanson and the good people at the University of Wisconsin who put this together. There's more information up on the playlist. See you next week.